to hear from all over the world. Jimmy from Vietnam. Marbelli, I heard, is from Nicaragua. Is that correct? Nicaragua. And then Serge from Rwanda. I'll never forget. Jimmy and Stray Dogs. Marbelli, Jesus is God. We will not forget that. And then as I was listening to Serge, my dear friend Serge, I was reminded what he said when he just said, listen to God, listen to the voice of God, listen to the voice of God. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. I want to talk to you about these two words, ignoring shouting. Ignoring shouting. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, I'm going to ask you that you would come and let us respond to your voice. You are speaking to us tonight. There's no doubt about it. There are people here. I just pray that where ears have been deaf, open the ears up tonight. The ears of the heart. Their physical ears have heard the words, but Lord, let their hearts hear what you're saying to them tonight. Father, may there be no ignoring of the voice of God, no ignoring of the shouting into our spirit and soul. May tonight that the Holy Spirit do something special. Change lives tonight. Change lives. Thank you for what you've done in Jimmy, Marbelli, and Serge. Now, would you do even more tonight? We dare to ask, do exceedingly above and beyond what we can even ask or think, not just in this room, but countries that are watching and states that are watching and universities. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, choir. I want to share for about the next 15 minutes or so about what the Lord put on my heart. I was recently struggling with praying for somebody, and I'll explain to you in a moment. This is literally just 2 weeks ago. I felt the Lord speak to me to pray for an individual, and I just couldn't bring myself to pray for them. Let me explain to you why. It was a leader that was been coming to the city that I feel like is dangerous to the body of Christ. I would even use the word as a shyster. And I just wouldn't pray. I felt God said, you pray for him. And I'm saying, I'm not praying for him because I feel like he's dangerous for the body of Christ. There's sometimes God's called us to be a shepherd. And I felt this was one of those times I felt like I was a German shepherd. And so I was just sitting there thinking to myself, I said, God, I'm just not going to. I said, I think this leader is dangerous to New York City. He exaggerates, he deceives people and has a dangerous philosophy. And I wouldn't pray for him. But I said, but I'm going to listen to your voice. And I didn't know what to pray. I wouldn't do. I wouldn't pray anything that I wasn't sincere about. I wanted to be sincere. I wanted to say, God, help me. I read something that I want to share with you that really helped me. And thank God that I responded to the Holy Spirit. I found a letter that C.S. Lewis wrote to a friend during World War II when they were having difficulty praying for Hitler and Stalin. He goes, I know I wanted to pray for these two men that are destroying the world, but I don't know how to pray for them, or at least pray sincerely. And I'm going, that's me. I don't know. Now, and I'm by no means calling this leader Hitler or Stalin, but I was just going, God, how do I pray? Can I just read to you what he wrote? This was his letter, and it really helped me to pray sincerely. Can I just ask, anybody ever sincerely feel that God's leading you to pray for someone, but you don't want to pray for them? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was not the only person here having a problem. Okay, so let me read this to you. This is such an important letter. Listen to these words. C.S. Lewis writes this. He says, when you pray for Hitler and Stalin, he says, how do you actually teach yourself to make the prayer real? Don't miss this now. He says, the two things that help me are these things. One, I have a continual grasp of the idea that one is only joining one's feeble little voice to the perpetual intercession of Christ who died for those very men. I'm joining the intercessor of heaven at that moment. He said, but second, and I'll explain this one in a moment. He says, I have a recollection as firm as one can make it of all one's own cruelty. My own cruelty might have blossomed under different conditions into something terrible. You and I are not at bottom so different from these ghastly creatures. Folks, I'm telling you, I started praying for that man immediately. At that moment, I'm going, oh God, help him. Folks, what Lewis was saying was this. He was saying we're joining our weak prayers with heaven's intercessor, with Jesus. That even if the prayers are weak, we join them with Christ, the one who knows how to speak to the Father. But the second thing is this. He says any one of us have the potential to be the person we're praying for, except by the mercy of God. And so I started to realize, oh God, help this. It helped me to pray even more sincerely for Putin, how to pray more sincerely for Iran's supreme leader, or North Korea's Kim Jong-un, and listen, let's just be honest. There are people that have a hard time praying for President Trump. You need to be praying for our presidents. It doesn't matter that you're going like, well, I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for this person. Folks, it doesn't matter. We're called. Number one, we join our feeble prayers with the great intercessor. And number two, we could find ourselves in a dangerous moment, in a dangerous place. Whether that person be from our president all the way down, it doesn't matter. Any one of us, the person that we find it difficult to pray for, God helps us. I heard God's voice that day. You pray, and God helped me to stumble across just that letter. I couldn't ignore what God was challenging me to do. The ignoring would have been more serious. When I sit in my office and I'm dealing with people whose life has run off the rails, their life has maybe been a train wreck because of sin or poor choices. Some of the leaders here have been with me when I've done this. I'll ask people one question or frame it maybe different ways. I'll ask one question. I'll say this. I said, did God speak to you at some point and you ignored him? I said, before we go through all the consequences that are happening, before we go through the moment where you're going to tell me all that is what the poor choices you have made and what has happened, I always ask, did God speak to you at some point and you ignored him? Or did you feel, I'll ask this, did you feel conviction and you kept going when you felt the conviction? It's two in the same question. I just framed it differently. Did God speak to you at some point and you ignored him? Or did you feel conviction? Did you feel like the Holy Spirit said, stop, don't go any further? And you kept going. Folks, look at me just for a second. Everybody look up here for a second. Everyone, I can't remember one person in 42 years of ministry that said, that every one of them said yes to me. I heard the voice of God. Never once did say I never heard God speak. Never once. Which means there had to be an ignoring of what God was speaking. There had to be an ignoring that was taking place. You knew what God wanted you to do, but you acted against it. You blew by the cautions. You blew by the no trespassing signs. You blew by the conviction. Something inside of you didn't make you feel well, and yet you still said it, did it, and decided to do it. And something dangerous happens when that happens. And not only will I ask that question, but I'll read this verse. Sometimes I'll have them read it, and sometimes I'll read it to them. And it's this verse in Proverbs chapter 1. Listen to this, starting in verse 20. Wisdom is going to speak, and wisdom is going to personify itself, but it's as if it's the voice of God. It says, wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? And then wisdom says, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. Because, here it comes now. This is the answer to the question comes. Because I called and you refused or ignored or blew by what I was saying. I stretched out my hand and you didn't even pay attention. Listen to this. He says, and you neglected all my counsel and you did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes in like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call upon me. This is after the consequences come, and I will not answer. You'll seek me diligently, but you will not find me because you hated knowledge and didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. So you shall eat of the fruit of your own way and be satiated with your own devices. This is such strong words, and sometimes it's hard for us to hear. And the last thing I'll ask them, I'll start with those two questions. Read Proverbs chapter 1, And then I'll end with this. I'll just say the last thing I'll tell them is I said, I want you to understand something. You can come back to God. God is merciful. God is gracious. But I want you to understand something. Don't believe yourself because you've lost wisdom right now. Wisdom is silent for you. You need outside help for wisdom. You need wise counsel at this point. Because you can't just ignore God and then all of a sudden go, okay, God, forgive me. Tell me what to do now. I said, what you need now is for godly counsel to guide you. God doesn't just answer because you hated knowledge. Wisdom goes silent. But wisdom will come. It will come from another place. Because you knew and you said you knew, but you kept going on at that point. You've ignored the voice of God. You've ignored the shouting. I have found that the shouts, let me say this to you. I have found that the shouts of God and the Holy Spirit get fainter and fainter the more I dismiss it. The more I ignore it, it doesn't seem. Look for just a moment at the intensity of Proverbs 1. Look how Proverbs 1 gets fainter and fainter. Listen to the progression here. It says, wisdom shouts in the streets. Then it moves to lifts her voice. To it'll cry out. It'll utter her sayings. And then finally it moves all the way down to I called to you. It goes from shouting to just calling. It is this road that says if you keep ignoring, you don't hear it as loud as anymore. I can tell you that personally. When I have felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, stop, don't go, don't say this, don't do this, don't go to this place. I have felt the Holy Spirit that every time I blow by that, the voice doesn't seem to be as loud next time. It starts with a shout. Tim, I love you. Don't go here. Don't go here. From shouting to calling, it's almost like the dial on the volume switch seems to be getting turned down. I don't know what level Belshazzar was in Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar is the man that has, that I don't even know what level this would be. Is it the cry, the shout, the uttering? I don't know what it is. But God was relentless to try to speak to this man. And finally, it seems that the last thing God is going to do is going to take a finger from heaven and write on the wall supernaturally in the middle of a party. It's kind of like Marbelli who's trying to enjoy her wings at a bar, and then all of a sudden you feel like, don't forget God, don't forget God, don't forget. It was like handwriting on the wall, but she didn't ignore. She didn't ignore when God was speaking. She was able to come home and ask her mom, when do you go to church? When do you go to church? There was something inside of her that would not ignore when that friend began to get a hold of her again at that place. Something began to take place there, like a voice began to speak. That's exactly the story of Belshazzar, but he didn't do what Marbelli did. He had a handwriting on the wall that was not going to make him obedient. Listen to these words, Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king, held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles. This is a 1,000-person party. He was drinking wine in the presence of 1,000. Now, here's the part I want you to hear. When Belshazzar tasted the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels, which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Did you just see what just happened here? All of a sudden, they're in a party with 1,000 people, and it wasn't enough. He said, what I want you to do now is get those vessels that we took from Jerusalem. Get the vessels, the cups that they made in the book of Exodus and covered with gold and put them in the temple, in the tabernacle, and that they used it for the things of God. Get those things and use it to drink and let's party right here. Folks, I'm telling you, let me just say this. Don't play with God. Don't play with him, because I'm telling you what takes place is unbelievable. Then they brought the gold vessels, verse 3 says, and that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem. And the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank from them with no thought, no care. There they are sitting there with the goblets or the what was used in that temple. And they're just taking these things, this godless society is taking the things of God and just having a party with them. They drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. And then verse 5 starts with this. Suddenly, that's not the word you want to hear in the middle of a party. Suddenly, the finger of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Don't miss this. Then the king's face grew pale. His thoughts alarmed him. His hip joints went slack and his knees began knocking together. OMG. That's serious. Talk about Jesus messing up a party. A finger from heaven is coming, writing on the plaster while you're holding in your hand these goblets from the temple that God had them make all the way back in the wilderness and now and made, and some of them made through the reign of Solomon. And now they're taking these things and beginning to literally demean and despise and to sacrilegious. And then all of a sudden his knees are knocking together, but they can't read the writing. God is shouting at them. And so they have to call Daniel to come down. They called Daniel because they said the spirit of, it's interesting. They go, you can come because the spirit of God is in you. We're not, we're worshiping the spirit, the gods of stone, silver, wood, and iron. But we need you, the man who has the spirit of God, to come down. Then Daniel was brought in. The king spoke and said to Daniel, are you the Daniel and who is one of the exiles from Judah? Who my father, the king, brought from Judah. Now I have heard about you, that the spirit of the gods are in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom has been found in you. And Daniel gives Belshazzar, in a sense, his Proverbs 1 speech. He gives him a Proverbs 1 speech. Listen to these words. O king, the most high God, granted sovereignty, grandeur, glory, and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your father. Because of the grandeur which he bestowed on him, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language feared and trembled before him. Whomever he wished, he killed, and whomever he wished, he spared alive. And whoever he wished, he elevated, and whoever he wished, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became proud, he became arrogantly. He was deposed from his royal throne. His glory was taken from him, and he was driven away from mankind. His heart was made like the beast. His dwelling place was with the wild donkeys. He was given grass. This is the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Grass to eat like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he recognized that the Most High God is the ruler over the realm of mankind, and that he, God, sets over it whomever he wishes. He said, your own dad had this kind of encounter. He didn't get a finger writing on the wall, but your dad got brought down by God Almighty, by Jehovah God, because he thought he was higher than God himself. Now listen to this. Yet you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all of this. But you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand. But the God in whose hand are your life breath and all of your ways, you have not glorified. And then the hand was sent from him, and this inscription was written out. As I'm thinking through this, Willie, you can come. Two words thunder in the court of the king from this exile. It's in verse 22 when he says to him, you knew. Don't miss those words. He thunders those words as this exile is standing before this 1,000 people holding these goblets in their hand, praising these little gods, little g. And this exile who cannot go where he wants to go because he's under the control of a Babylonian empire looks at him, and folks, don't miss these words. He said this, you knew what you were doing. You knew it. Don't play dumb. Don't pretend like this was never spoken. Don't pretend there wasn't a yellow caution sign that was up there, or a stop sign that says, don't do this. Don't call for those vessels. Don't do it. And he looks at him and says, you knew. Folks, those words echoed in my spirit as I was reading this. It was the words from Proverbs chapter 1. You knew all of this, but you kept going on. What you did was you ignored the shouting from God until a finger came down. What did the inscription say? It was in their language, tekel, tekel, upharsin. We won't see it on the screen. Mene, mene, tekel. What does it mean? Your life has been found in a scale and weighed before God, and it's found wanting. It's not heavy enough. God's not in your life. But just to think, he says, you knew. I am so grateful. I am so grateful that Jimmy would respond. I'm so thankful that Marbelli would respond. I'm so thankful that Serge responded. When they would hear that voice of God, something inside of them says, I don't want to miss when God speaks. I don't want to miss his voice, that God is speaking to me. I was reading in Tim Hansel's book, Stand With Me. It was called When I Relax, I Feel Guilty. It tells the story of a man from the rural Northwest. He lived in the hills. He lived in a mountain cabin and did one of the strangest things. He visited New York City. He said he was walking with his friend who lived in Midtown Manhattan, and suddenly, as they're walking through Midtown down 6th Avenue, he says these words. He says, I hear a cricket. His New York friend goes, are you out of your mind? We're in New York City. What do you mean? He says, I'm telling you, I'm sure of it. I hear a cricket. And Hansel wrote, he goes, it was the noon hour. People were bustling, trying to get to their lunch, whether finishing lunch, getting to it. Cars, horns were beeping. Taxis were squealing their wheels. And he just said, I hear a cricket. And his friend said, finally, on the corner, he finds a shrub in a large cement planter, digs through the leaves, and pulls out a cricket. On 6th Avenue. His friend was astounded. And the man said this. He said, my ears are no different than yours. It simply depends on what you're listening to. And then he said this. Here, let me show you. He said he reached into his pocket, pulled out a whole bunch of change, and dropped it on the floor. And he said everyone within their vicinity stopped and checked their pockets if they dropped the money. And then he says this. He said, you see what I mean? It all depends on what you're listening for. It all depends what your ear is tuned to. Jesus made a statement constantly when he spoke. I wrote down 8 times he said in the Gospels these words. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. It was as if you read through every time, he is about to literally drop this giant truth. And he says, whoever has an ear, let him hear. Well, he wasn't speaking about physical ears. He wasn't speaking to lepers that maybe lost their ears. He was speaking to us. He was speaking to them who have physical ears, but somehow the heart won't listen. Somehow the heart, he was trying to say, don't ignore the shouting. The shout sometimes would come with, verily, verily, I say unto you. He would shout in the book of John at the day when he would speak to me, he says, there's a river, there's a spirit of God is coming down upon us. He was speaking to them to know his voice, to speak and hear the voice of God. I love the way that it takes that same phrase, he who has an ear to hear, the message translates, paraphrases like this. Are you listening to this? Really listening? And then Jesus says, listen carefully to what I'm saying and be wary of the shrewd advice that tells you how to get ahead in the world on your own by giving, not getting. That's the way. He says, listening. Are you really listening? Really listening? That's why the most important listen that ever comes from Jesus is all the way in the book of Revelation. And it says it like this. Listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in and we will eat together. Look at me for a moment as we get ready to pray. Don't ignore the shouting. Don't ignore the shout of wisdom. Some of us have blown by the warnings. We've blown by the warnings. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't text that. Don't email that. There are people here that God has spoken and spoken and spoken. And for some reason, we keep ignoring the shouting. Wisdom shouts in the streets, cries out, utters its voice. And I just tell you tonight, don't ignore the shouting of God. You heard it with a man from Rwanda. You heard it from a young lady from Nicaragua. You heard it from a young man from Vietnam. And maybe you could just hear it from a kid from New York that just simply says, don't ignore the voice of God if he's speaking to you tonight to get it right. Get it right. Get your life right with God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a second as we get ready to close tonight? For those that are Christians, I challenge you tonight. When God speaks, respond. When God talks to you, respond. Whether he says, go, stop, be careful, be silent, speak up. Guard your mind, guard your heart, guard your thoughts, guard your eyes. The Holy Spirit may speak that to you, whether you're in Next Gen or whether you've been in this church or been in Christ for decades. Don't ignore the shouting. It is our protection. It's the protection of God. I'm so thankful I didn't ignore the shouting when I didn't want to pray for that gentleman. And I felt that God says, no, you don't understand. I'll help you pray. I'll help you pray. I'll show you your intercessor in heaven and show you that all of our hearts could have ended up like this. Walk in humility. Walk realizing it's mercy, the mercy of God. But tonight, can I just speak to those that may not be listening to God or maybe didn't expect this to happen at a church on a Tuesday night? Maybe you weren't expecting to be here or listen to this online. Maybe God has written something to you. Maybe not with a finger on plaster like Daniel chapter 5, but maybe it came in the form of the writing of the scriptures. Maybe the voice of Daniel came in the voice of a refugee from Vietnam or a UN worker from Rwanda or a young lady from Nicaragua that says, you didn't want to know me before I found Christ. Maybe that voice, maybe that's your Daniel voice tonight. Maybe that's the voice that God's saying, don't ignore it, don't ignore it, don't ignore it. You can be changed too tonight. You can be changed too tonight. May I just implore you tonight, don't ignore the shout that's in your heart tonight. Not your ears, but inside your soul tonight. Don't ignore that when God is speaking to you. It's imperative. It's something that will change your life. And so tonight, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to speak to those that maybe have wandered away from God. Maybe you've never committed your life to God, but you have heard those voices. Whatever you're listening for, you'll find it. You will find it. You will find those things, whatever you're listening for tonight. And that's why tonight I want to just say to you, if you're here in this place and God is speaking to you, he's knocking on your door, listen, listen. He's standing and knocking. If you hear his voice, open your heart to him. Open the door to him. Your life can be changed tonight. Your life can be changed tonight. Your life can be changed tonight. There may be a voice. There may be a voice next to you whispering, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, come on. Let's hurry up and get out of here. Let's beat the crowd. Let's get the car. Let's go. We got dinner reservations. I am telling you, for some of you, there is a louder voice that's saying, today is the day of salvation for you tonight. There's a louder voice that's speaking to you tonight. So let me just for a little bit, maybe I can just be his mouthpiece tonight. If you're here tonight and say, Tim, God is calling me back to him. I've been away from God. I've never committed my life to God. But I need God in my life tonight. I need God in my life tonight. I don't want to ignore the shouting. You've heard it through three stories. You've heard it through the scriptures. He is calling you tonight. And if that's you and you're saying, Pastor Tim, I need God in my life. I need him to come in and change me from the inside out. I don't need religion. I don't need a church. I need God. Don't ignore the shout. If that's you tonight, say, would just pray for me. Pray. If that's you, without any hesitation, would you just raise your hand saying, I need God in my life. Hold it up high. Hold that hand up as high as you can. I want to make sure I see it. Yes, 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 yes. Back there. Yes, yes. I want you to put your hands down for a second because I think this is so important. Thank God you've not ignored his shouting. Can we all pray this together? I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I heard your voice tonight. I will not ignore it. You're speaking to me, and that voice is loud. I'll not take another step. I'll not leave this place without God in my life. Tonight I surrender. Tonight I give you my life. Tonight I hear your voice. You are knocking at my heart. And I will open up this door. And you promised me you will come in and live inside of my heart. Come on, say this with me. Forgive me of my sins. Change me from the inside out. I need you in my life, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank God for all those that raised your hand. Can I just challenge you to do one thing? If you raised your hand tonight, would you go ahead and just text the word decided to 51,000. Those are all the people that are saying, I'm not ignoring the shout. All those in all over this building. Those that are watching online, you can email decided to growth at tsc.nyc. This is so important. This is the beginning of an amazing life where God begins to come and work from the inside out. I'm telling you now, as a believer, and I'm speaking to Christians, you're gonna hear his voice. Don't ignore his voice. When you hear the voice of God, say, God, shout and I will obey. Whisper and I will obey, but just speak to my heart. How many want that voice of God? How many want God just to come? Hey, this is what we're gonna do. Maybe God is speaking to you tonight. Let me just challenge you with this last thought. Don't forget, Friday night, maybe he's gonna speak to you as we end with Breakthrough here on Friday night, the final of the five weeks of series. It's been absolutely amazing. Maybe God is going to speak to you if you're a young person in high school or college. Maybe it's 212. But I'm telling you, don't miss the voice of God. He's speaking to us tonight. Look at the person next to you and say, you better listen to God. Tell them that. Tell that person. Say, you better listen to God. Tell the person next to you, say, yeah, I'm talking to you too.